Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What do we get now in Barack Obama? Well, I've got videos, by the way. This election, we're going to vet him. From his college days to show you why racial division and class warfare are central to what Hope and Change was sold in 2008. The videos are going to come out. The narrative is going to come out that Barack Obama met a bunch of silver ponytails back in the 1980s, like Bill and Bernadine Dorn, who, equally radical, said one day we're going to have the presidency and the rest of us slept.
That's the voice of Andrew Breitbart at CPAC earlier this year, basically threatening the president with a series of videos from his college days. And now Breitbart is dead. Now, of course, one could say, come on, you don't mean that there was a conspiracy here. Well, I don't know. Do you? Walking in the street at night, 12:30, dies of a heart attack. It does happen. Kids die of heart attacks at 15. So it's possible. On the other hand, given that we know what we have in the White House, given what we know from the verbiage of the left on tape saying they'd like to kill 30 million Americans to see their revolutionary dream come true, we don't know. Are we allowed to ask the question? Should there be an investigation? Who are you going to investigate? Where do you begin? And who would do the investigation? Now, I didn't know Breitbart that well. I met him once or twice. Originally came up to see me. And we spoke, that is, he spoke for three straight hours. I was unable to say a word. And then I once went to his home in L.A., beautiful wife, great children, four children, big party. And I told him, I warned him, I said, you're going over the edge here. You're supposed to be a journalist. Andrew, stop it. Do you know the difference between being a journalist and being an activist? I don't think he understood there was a difference in the danger he was putting himself in, both physically, in the sense of his own health, let's put it that way, emotionally and every other way. I also thought that he was in too many places at once. I wouldn't say we were in a falling out. We didn't talk to each other for the last 2 years. He ignored me. I ignored him. And I would say he was a giant in the field, and he died too young, and he left the family too young. But I'm asking a question. You want to move on? I asked my webmaster to put it up. It's a shame it's still not up yet. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's out to lunch, but the question on the top right of MichaelSavage.com is really quite simple. If there's going to be an autopsy, which there is going to be, the L.A. County coroner is going to do an autopsy. And I think they have to do in any case of death such as this. Should we ask? Are we allowed to ask the question? Let me ask my audience the question. What do you think? Do you think he died of natural causes from overwork, exhaustion, got a heart attack and died, or do you think it's possible that he was executed, assassinated by some nefarious forces in America? Have we now become South America in the 1970s, where people start to disappear? Is this just a conspiracy theory? Am I just trying to shock you? I don't know. You tell me. Is it crazy for me to ask the question? Or am I allowed to ask the question? Well, I ask it anyway. Notice to the American people. Welcome to the newly created socialist states of America. Trickle-down tyranny, crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America, a land where poverty is rewarded, success is punished, our worst enemies are praised, the military is used as a pawn, our border descends into chaos, and corporations and cronies make off with all the wealth. That's my new book. It'll be out in a month. I don't think I'll be walking on the streets of America at night alone. I told Andrew, by the way, to get a bodyguard. I told him that 2 years ago when we were still talking. I said, Andrew, slow down. Do you have any idea what you're doing here? He said, no, I don't need anything, you know. I said, get two bodyguards. Don't walk alone at night in the street. That's what I told him. But he didn't listen to me. Apparently he went his own way, and that's fine. I mean, I don't have any friends in the media, maybe one or two. I'm a man alone. I walk alone. Doesn't make me greater or smaller. It's just the way it is. It's a very competitive business. Everyone's out for the other guy's throne. Nobody's really anybody's friend at the end of the day. Everyone's out for themselves. But he was a conservative king, this guy. I mean, he really drove himself crazy by pushing himself over the edge, I think, too far. I told him, you have a wife and four children. What are you doing here? I mean, you could have just as much success by doing what you're doing without screaming and yelling and attacking people. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think? This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the death of a giant in the field of conservative blogging or journalism. He was a better journalist than anyone at AP. AP are the most biased left-wing fanatics I've seen in my life. So you can say, well, so was he. All right, fine. Don't say he wasn't a journalist. By what standard was he not a journalist? He did the journalism that they're not doing. He exposed Acorn and caused their defunding. What, he wasn't a journalist because he was doing the stuff that the American people want done by the vermin in the media who won't do it? All the little men and little girls who answer to George Soros and other corporate sponsors? So, he's gone. I'm asking a question. Is it a conspiracy or not? Is my question invalid or not? Do you think it's wrong to ask? Or am I the only one? Let's put it another way. Did it enter your mind? Yeah, let's put it to you that way. When you woke up this morning and you saw the Drudge Report that Breitbart is dead, still not on my website. I love it. I love the timing. Crackerjack, via turn, everything's exactly the way I want it. It's a wonder I'm not dead of 8 heart attacks. But somebody up there must like me because I should have been dead a long time ago. Just by genetics and by my own nature. And by the stress I live under, no one could believe. You couldn't live under the stress I live under if you knew what I was going through. But I've learned how to swim like a duck in water. I have my ways to just turn it right off, I guess. Actually, I never turn it off. To be honest with you, I've never been able to turn my mind off. The minute God slapped me on the behind through the hand of a doctor, my mind was turned on. It never went off. If I had electrodes attached to my brain, I could produce one Daryl F. Zanuck production a night at least, with scripts, with lighting, with directing, with acting. But I don't. So I get up here on the radio and I try to tell you what's going on. And the minute I read this, maybe my overly active imagination kicked into overdrive. But you heard what Breitbart said. He said at CPAC, what was it, last month? He said that he has videos this election. We're going to vet the president, videos from Obama's college days. I said, oh, my God. Now, as you well know, even if he was, well, let's put it to you this way. Is there anyone in the audience who was in the cloak and dagger business who can call this show, put a napkin over the mouthpiece, and tell us how you can induce a heart attack on someone without touching them? You know that going back quite a while in the world of espionage, they were killing people. Kyle and silently, you could go to some of the movies, touching them with an umbrella and they die, right? And then they find them and they had a heart attack. Well, what did they inject them with that causes a heart attack and then is dissipated from the bloodstream and from the tissues? Are there newer methods that are electronic, for example? Are there handheld devices where you can beam someone's cardiac sinus and kill them? Cause an arrhythmia and kill them. Hey, what an idea. New internet tool. Are there devices out there that you can literally beam at someone from 15 feet away at their solar plexus, cause an arrhythmia and kill them and walk away? I'm asking a crazy question. I'll admit it. But so what? We the people want an answer. This was not an ordinary man. If I don't ask these questions, I would be remiss, in my opinion. So what do you think? New York, we'll start with you, Ferris, on WOR. Did this enter your mind or not?
Only a fool would ignore that a 43-year-old man in vibrant health, who I spoke with at CPAC 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, Doc, and who articulated his use of free speech in the airwaves in a way that made this event expected on my part and anybody's part.
Well, wait a minute. You mean him dying? You think somebody killed him?
Of course. How? What else could it be? Connect the dots. Look at the man that you talked about, the intelligence officer that was found in a dumpster. I'll tell you how James McDougal died. You talk about causing heart attacks. Here was a man who said on Wednesday that he would testify against the Clintons on Thursday. His name was James McDougal, president of Madison Guaranty Trust Company.
Yeah.
His wife was Susan McDougal, who slept with Slick Willie.
Yes.
And he went to prison, as did his wife, rather than to testify against Slick Willie.
Yes.
And then he said, okay, I'm an old man in frail health. I'll tell what I know about the Clintons and Whitewater on Thursday. Wouldn't you know it, I'll be darned, he died on the day before he was to testify.
Where did he die? In a prison cell?
No, sir, not in the cell. They sent him to the hole. And you know prisons. I don't know prison.
No, I really don't know prison. He died in the prison, though, didn't he?
But he died in the place where they send the worst of the worst. In other words, he was sent to the hole where there were no eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The hole is solitary confinement. He was removed from his prison, an old man in frail health. And he was sent to the hole where he had a heart attack, same thing Breitbart had. But the difference with Breitbart is Breitbart was 43 years old, in vibrant health. And you're the only one in the media who's given this the coverage that it deserves. Everyone's running from it. And Breitbart...
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean you're running from it? I heard Rush gave a big eulogy today, didn't he?
Rush is Rush, okay? But the others all work for the man. Rush doesn't work for
the
man.
Well, here's my headline on michaelsavage.com. You better grab it before it goes down. Was Breitbart assassinated? Now, the reason I ask the question is twofold. One, because the L.A. Times reported an hour ago that the coroner is performing an autopsy. Andrew Breitbart's death to be reviewed by L.A. County coroner. So I'm not the only one asking the question. Given his young age, he was 43, in the unexpected manner in which he died, authorities will conduct an autopsy to help determine a specific cause of death. Well, why shouldn't I ask that question? He antagonized the left-wing establishment which runs this country. Is that correct?
Of course, you're a wise man. Use your head. You think that any coroner's gonna? You think this is in the control of any coroner? Forget about it. This is in control of the people that run the world. Okay, who Obama works for, and they do not screw around. And
well, what is this about tapes he was going to release? Now, here's the thing: he's dead. He says he had videos, and are going to vet these videos from Obama's college days to show you blah 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 blah. Who has those videos? Where are they?
Well, I can only hope that Breitbart, being the bright guy he is, has those spread around so far and wide that by eliminating Breitbart, they haven't blocked the release of the tapes. But this is a message for you and all the other talkers and all the other truth tellers, and that is they hope that you will cower. And
they've also got Rupert Murdoch in a vice. The Obama administration has got Rupert Murdoch and his son in a vice. If they can get Rupert Murdoch, I guess they can get anybody, right? That's why Fox News has become so liberal recently. Have you noticed?
Murdoch is part of the team, Doc. He's on Obama's.
Well, Murdoch has been capitulated by the administration, which is why about 2 years ago they started moving radically to the center. And now, I mean, I watch CNN to get the news and I deconstruct the news because at least it's news. Fox News, I don't know what I'm watching anymore. But I look, is this a conspiracy on my part, right? You know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he was out of shape. He didn't exercise. He lived, ate, breathed, and slept his work 24/7. So it is possible it was of natural causes, correct? I'll be right back.
Savage.
The videos are going to come out. The narrative is going to come out that Barack Obama met a bunch of silver ponytails back in the 1980s, like Bill and Bernadine Dorn, who equally radical, said one day we're going to have the presidency, and the rest of us slept.
Well, now he sleeps. And I can't be the only one who, when I read it this morning, said something's fishy here. I mean, kids 15 get heart attacks on baseball fields. I mean, we could put it one way or the other. If you work for the Associated Press, you say it was natural causes. If you are open-minded, you have to ask this question. I mean, he was a gadfly of the right, and he antagonized people at the highest level. I mean, he almost sought out antagonism. In that sense, he wasn't alone. The question is, accident or something else? You'll never know anyway. You'll never know. You're never going to know. But at CPAC, he surely warned the Democrat establishment what he was going to do. I want to know where the videos are. Now, if we read that in the next few days his office burns down in L.A., your answer will be get emergency food and move to a silo in Omaha. An old silo in Utah, wherever. Get the dried food and disappear. Change your ID. Go to New York, to Jackson Heights, and buy a new identity for $160. Apparently, you can buy a green card and a passport for $160 in 15 minutes. Don't ask Homeland Security about it because they know nothing about it. Just get a new identity entirely. Get an iris transplant. I got to tell you, it's very suspicious, number one. It's a little frightening, number two. And there's no going back, number three. That's all. Either you are or you're not. I mean, either you're there or you're not. There's no going back. There's no pulling your head back. You can't do it. You're there or you're not there. Either we're living in a fascist dictatorship that's emerging or we're not. One way or the other, I mean, either which side are you on? Where do you want to be? You would have fought with Hitler or in the underground? You would have joined the partisans or you would have joined those who were throwing Jews into the ovens? I'm not saying it's exactly there. I didn't say that. But that comes down to it at a certain point. You're going to go into the forest with the partisans or you're going to wear the uniform of the Nazi and say, I see no evil, I hear no evil, I speak no evil. Make a decision. Go ahead. Make your decision.
Savage.
The videos are going to come out. The narrative is going to come out that Barack Obama met a bunch of silver ponytails back in the 1980s, like Bill and Bernadine Dorn, who, equally radical, said one day we're going to have the presidency and the rest of us slept.
Well, question. The footage, according to those who have seen it, we're reading on the site, threatened to sink Obama's 2012 reelection campaign. Will this footage surface? Or will there be a strange fire at the Breitbart headquarters? I mean, we're living in very dangerous times. You may think this is all BS and it's just for ratings. I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you something very, very personal now, and you have to take it for what it is. For about 2 weeks, I have felt the angel of death around me. I can tell you I'm very intuitive. I am very intuitive. I function on several levels at once, or I wouldn't be where I'm sitting right now. And I felt it several times in my life. I am telling you that angel was flying around me, and I felt it. And he went somewhere else for now. He went somewhere else for now, whether by natural causes or by suspicious causes. I was not ready to go. I'll go kicking and screaming anyway, but that's the point. I mean, the point is that he's dead. Dead is dead, as my mother would say. We're not going to know. So I feel obligated to tell you to tell you what I think here. Will his footage still be released after his death? That's the only question. Where is the footage? He threatened the president, for God's sakes. The guy was so out there, he went up there and threatened President Obama. Now he's dead. So if this happened in Argentina, you'd say, oh, well, hey, that happens in a banana republic. If a journalist threatens the dictator, he gets killed. He gets whacked. It doesn't happen in America because we live in Disneyland. We live in Steven Spielberg land. We don't. That doesn't happen here. We're a nation of laws. Take a look at your border. Take a look at your language. Take a look at your culture. Look at the laws. Look at the land of the law that we live in. That doesn't happen here. It can't happen here. Why, there are too many checks and balances. It could not happen here. Dallas, Texas, Mark, what do you think? Tell us what you think.
I think that you pinned it in abuse of power in Chapter 11 when they go to Jamal's house, when the MI6 agents knock off the kid who saw the supposed terror hijacking there.
Hold it. What page are you talking about in my novel, Abuse of Power? I really need to know which page.
You're going to love this. Page 100.
Page 100. That's pretty good. I know what you're saying. Yeah, I do love it. My baby, they killed my baby by the time Jack reached the muscle car. It was parked out in front of one of the tenement houses, that one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
You know, Mark, your voice sounds very, very much like Andrew's voice, incidentally. It's shocking.
Hey, don't send the angel at death to my way.
No, stop it, man. I don't have any influence over him.
Well, you know,
he goes where he goes where he wants to go. That guy goes where he wants to go.
Yeah, and he visited me when I had cancer when I was 17, so I know all about it. But I just want to get this in real quick about the Lao Tzu quote that you always talk about. You say he said it doesn't matter what they do with your ideas so long as they're out there. Did you ever consider that Lao Tzu was maybe like the hemorrhoid in ears, and he was just telling people that to assuage them as he stole their ideas?
Yeah, I hear you. Wait, you got to say that again. Did I ever consider that Lao Tzu was like the hemorrhoid?
Yeah, he stole people's ideas, but to assuage them, to make them not get so mad at Lao Tzu, he said, no, don't worry. It's that your ideas are out there. It's a good thing.
Oh, you're talking about the guy who's no longer on Fox now, right?
Yeah, the guy that does online TV somewhere that you have to pay for.
Yeah, well, he ripped off everybody's ideas, in my estimation. He imitated a lot of people, that guy.
All right, I got a pizza burning, so I'll talk to you later.
All right, I hear you. No, the angel was around. I was really freaked out for 2 weeks now straight. Every night, there he was, and I was saying, leave me alone. Go away. It's good to have a dog around. The dogs hear things, by the way, that aren't even there. Do you know that? Are you aware of the fact that one of the things dogs sense are things of the supernatural order? And people who own dogs know this. I don't want to get totally into like a night radio show, but what the heck? Let's go there. You know, when death is around, death is around. So here we are. There's nothing new to soldiers, what we're talking about. They lose friends every day of the week. Only you don't know about it because they glorify instead a drug addict or a junkie who shot herself up and fell, you know, and crashed in a bathtub. They turned her into the American hero. But the soldier who lost his life or lost his legs didn't even matter to the vermin in the press. What do you think? Is there anyone out there on a conspiracy theory? Indiana, Gary, you're up on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm on the conspiracy. I recall that Andrew Breitbart had dinner at Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn's house, apartment, whatever, within the last 3 weeks.
Why would he? Why would he have gone there? What would he have gained by doing that?
He would gain insight, perhaps, and acceptance, and perhaps an opportunity to spy.
Well, it didn't work, did it?
I don't know, but I wonder what was.
How'd that work out? But at least he didn't get a polonium. Didn't get a polonium sushi there. That we're pretty sure of. But wait, hold it. Whoa! Rewind the tape now. I want to rewind that tape. When did he dine in Ayer's house?
Within the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. Forensic pathology. Forensic pathology. A forensic pathologist could tell us whether there are substances that could be ingested that are slow acting that would have effects 3 weeks later, couldn't they?
I'm with you.
Well, thank you. We're not suggesting this, of course. We're only, you know, I'm a novelist, so therefore whatever I suggest is for my new novel. We have another high-profile death that was never solved, strangely enough. If you remember, it's the year 2012, but in 2011 there was a major league death swept right under the rug by the vermin in the media. They paid no attention to it. Some degenerate in Hollywood dies. You hear about it for 16 years. A monkey died. A monkey. A guy who was a rock and roller for about a minute. 2 days it went on and on about a monkey died. On and on and on, like a hero, an American hero, more than George Washington. But last year, When the man who built the Vietnam Veterans Wall was assassinated and found in a dumpster in Delaware, you remember that story? It shocked me to my core. There was no investigation, no FBI, no CIA. This guy was at the top of the food chain in the political establishment. He was found wandering around. Do you remember that? Found him wandering around and then dead in a dumpster in Delaware. Never a follow-up. Not one journalist in America looked into it. That's the country you're living in. Don't you understand the world we're living in today, how dangerous it is? All I did was write that into abuse of power because I was shocked by it, and I didn't want it to be forgotten, the death. But what good is that going to do? Who's going to investigate it now? Where'd the trail go? Where'd the trail go to that death? Remember that one? Does anyone remember his name? I'll bet there's not a listener out there who knows who I'm talking about, who was executed as clear as I'm sitting here last year. The man who was behind the Vietnam Veterans Wall. Where were the veterans? I got your back, Mike. I got your back, Mike. Yeah, you got my back. No one has your back in this country. Nobody has your back. There's no one there. But his widow came out virtually screaming in the dark. It was Jack Wheeler. Came out screaming once, saying my husband was assassinated. Do you remember? And nobody paid attention. The so-called journalists, the so-called big mouths on MSNBC, the foaming psychotics said nothing about Jack Wheeler's execution. This is some case. A guy like that winds up in a dumpster and there's no investigation? Why? Well, all I could do is fictionalize it into abuse of power. So, all I could say to you is this. We're living in extremely dangerous times. This is not the America that you had 5 years ago. If you think things were bad under George Bush, you have no idea what you entered when you elected Barack Hussein Obama and the people behind him. You have no idea the world you're living in. Most of us have no idea the world we're living in has changed so dramatically that we can never have that world back again. I don't think we can ever have it back again. I don't care which Republican might win. I don't think we'll ever get America back. However, it doesn't mean we stop trying. And I got to tell you this. I swear to you, from the bottom of my heart, I am so glad the trickle-down tyranny is out of my hands. I am so glad that it's in the publisher's hands. I'm just glad that it's in Harper and Row's. I mean, they'd have to stop Harper and Row, Harper Publishing, to stop that book. I have nothing to do with it. It's out of my hands. And since I am not allowed on any radio, a television show in America, since I've been banned by Fox News years ago because of O'Reilly's iron heel, the leprechaun has told everyone in no uncertain terms that if I go on Fox News, they're out of there. That's what I suspect went on. He's so violently jealous of me. I'm banned in Britain. Remember that I'm the only member of the American media who's not allowed to enter Britain, put on a list with terrorists and murderers. Think about what that means. It means that the last administration, George Bush, in cahoots with the left-wing Labor government, decided I was an enemy of the state. And they put me on a list with the most notoriously evil people on the planet simply for speaking my mind. And nobody came to my defense in this country. Now Jack Wheeler winds up in a dumpster because obviously he was not just talking, he knew something. And then Breitbart's dead because he threatened somebody. See, there's an old rule. I watch a lot of movies, and I'm speaking with you today across America, not as a commentator, but as a novelist. I'm speaking with you as Michael Savage, author. I am not a talk show host in the sense that you may think today. I am Michael Savage, author of the novel Abuse of Power. I write fiction. And so since I write fiction, my mind jumps back and forth between fiction and nonfiction, reality and fantasy. So therefore, take it for what it is. Okay? That's where it's at. I watch a lot of movies. I watch too many movies. And I noticed something in looking at the news and watching a lot of gangster movies and a lot of documentaries on criminals. I found out that in America, at least until now, they generally don't kill you unless you have something on them that's going to cost them money or power. It's one thing to say, he's no good. It's another thing to say, I don't like it. Another thing to say, don't vote for him. It's another thing to say, he's a this, he's a that. That's acceptable. It's still acceptable. It won't be in about a year. In about 1 year, it'll be the equivalent of Kim Jong-il. You'll disappear for saying any criticism of any of the royalists who run the country. That's if this administration stays in power, in my estimation. But as of right now, you can say anything you want about anybody as long as you do it within a certain, you know, set of parameters. However, if you have damning evidence that will cost the power structure or people you're talking about money directly, like, you know, they scammed this, you're going to expose that, you're dead. Or you say you have tapes that can derail a man's bang, dum pa pa, I'll be right back.
Savage.
Barack Obama is a radical. We should not be afraid to say that. Okay? And Barack Obama was launched from Bill and Bernadine's salon. I've been there. It became a self-evident truth to me that there's zero chance that this incredible chef did not cook many a meal for Barack Obama.
Now, if I were doing the investigation, I would visit this incredible chef. First thing I would do, go over to the incredible chef and look at his ingredients shelf. But that's not going to happen. There's an article at the top of Drudge right now, Andrew Breitbart's Last Hour. Andrew Breitbart talked politics in an L.A. bar an hour before dying, exclusive. It came from the Hollywood Reporter. He went into a bar near his L.A. home, Brentwood, struck up a conversation with a stranger, Arthur Sando, a marketing exec who didn't know him, but apparently he talked for an hour or two. This is a very interesting story. It's a very intriguing story that he was out. He has four children. He's out at 11:30 at night, drinking in a bar, talking with strangers. Some people can't stop talking, I guess. I'm usually in bed by 8 after the radio, 9 o'clock after the show. Nevertheless, he's there. He says he's in the bar, drinking, and a man sits down next to him. And Sando says, I try to figure out how I knew him, a veteran publicity marketing executive who worked at CBS King World Prods. He says, and Turner Broadcasting. He was on his BlackBerry, and I said, Andrew, I told him I had seen his work. Sando says the two of them quickly struck up a conversation that would last a little less than 2 hours. He was friendly and engaging. And they argued back and forth. Friendly debate continued in the bar as Breitbart sipped red wine. So those of you who think red wine prevents heart attacks. We just hit it off. He was delightful. There were other people who sat down and joined the conversation. So he wasn't drinking excessively. He was on his BlackBerry a lot. After the 2 hours, Breitbart said he was leaving. We exchanged contact information. We were going to get together. He was shocked to read Thursday morning that Breitbart, who had a history of heart problems, had collapsed while on a walk to his home in the same neighborhood as the bar. Breitbart was rushed to a hospital and pronounced dead at 12:19 a.m., according to Reuters, less than an hour after leaving the Brentwood. The exact cause of death has not been revealed, but initial reports said it was natural causes. There were no signs that anything was wrong, so Sando, it's very sad. So does that close the case or not? Sitting at a bar, talking. Why doesn't change a thing? He was walking alone in the street. I told him to get a bodyguard 2 years ago. I said, get two bodyguards 2 years ago. Never be alone in the street. That's number one. So I don't know. What do you think? You want me to drop it and just go to the ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, CNN thing? Andrew Breitbart died of a heart attack. We can move on. Where are the tapes? Are they going to be seen? Will they surface? He has videos of Obama that will come out this year. He threatened the president. He threatened the president at the CPAC with videos that could derail the man's reelection campaign. So are we to conclude there's no relationship? I hope so. Let me say I hope so. Let me pray it was natural causes. I pray. But we're never going to know the truth. However, I'd like to see the videos. Where are they? Who in the Breitbart organization has them? If they have them, they better post them as fast as they can so they become viral. Or they're never going to see the light of day. And just walk around with a hat, get an iris transplant, get a wig, get a Dalmatian, get a different dog. Just walk around Daytona, Florida. Eat in the worst restaurants in the world. Fish and chips. Switch my diet. Fish and chips. That savage is known to like Chinese and Italian. Eat fish and chips. I turn everything in my own life into some kind of joke at a certain point. I know he's dead. No, I'm not laughing about him. At this point, I got to laugh. for my own sanity. I got a friend who just survived double cancer surgery. The spinal column was invaded, and the man is there again, and he would go, the man is amazing. I said to him, boy, are you strong? You're 79 years old, and you survived cancer surgery, and you go to a conference within 5 days? Well, let me tell you what he said to me. He said, 40 years ago or 35 years ago, do you remember when my son died? He had a beautiful 10-year-old boy who died in a tragic accident right in front of his eyes. He said, I came home from the grave, and I walked through the door of my house, and he said, I was as black inside as a man could be. And he said, I put my foot in the door of my, he told me this 2 nights ago. He said, I put my foot through the door of my house, and I said to myself, if I stop smiling now, I'm a dead man. And he said, I decided never to let anybody or anything kill my inner smile. That's what he told me. And I said to him, I said, my dear friend, that's your magnus opus. I want you to start that book by dictating it and tell the world how you survived that tragedy and didn't let anyone kill your insides. So at a certain point, you know, you have to have your own coping techniques. I don't need balloons, and I don't need, don't tell me in L.A. they're going to start putting down balloons and I don't know, whatever they do. Please, I pray to God the right-wingers don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't put balloons and dolls in the street. God in heaven, what a disgrace. What paganism. What a country of pagans we become. Someone dies at a spot, they put down balloons and like stuffed animals. I never saw anything like this. God is dead. The stuffed animal is alive. God is dead. The teddy bear lives. God is dead. The balloon lives. The balloon man lives. When I come back, we're going to talk more about Andrew Breitbart's death. Natural causes or ? Right here on the Savage Nation. That's right. Right here, we're going to talk about it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What do we get now in Barack Obama? Well, I've got videos, by the way. This election, we're going to vet him. I've got videos. This election, we're going to vet him from his college days to show you why racial division and class warfare are central to what Hope and Change was sold in 2008.
That's the voice of Andrew Breitbart a month ago at CPAC, where he basically says he has videos of the president that will come out that will derail his presidency, and he's dead today. Now, so we take the he had a heart condition. He was overweight. He traveled continuously, didn't exercise. He had high blood pressure. He was in terrible shape. And you could say he died of a heart attack from stress. That's all does happen. Or you could say he was walking in the street at night at 12:30 after a couple of drinks and a long chat, and he was knocked off. In some silent way, it can be done, and because there is an autopsy. Now, what the autopsy will prove is nothing. There are ways to induce a heart attack in a person without touching them that it will be shown as a heart attack. There are drugs that can be slipped into a person's food that will produce a heart attack and then disappear from the system. So we're living in very interesting times. Now we have a new report that just came out that the bomb squad just rushed to Rush Limbaugh's Palm Beach estate. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Same day. The night of the long knives. Night of the long knives. Who? I mean, the day's not over yet. It's early. Just came in a few minutes ago. His security team, Russia's security team, found a suspicious package on his property, and they called a bomb squad in Palm Beach. So that's number two. Nothing there, of course. There's no conspiracy. It's chance. Breitbart's dead. Rush has a bomb. A bomb scare. No, nothing. We're living in. It can't happen here. Don't be ridiculous. Don't give me that crap, Savage. There's no conspiracy here. Just cut it out. This is the most honest administration in American history, and they care about people. They care about people, and they would never, ever do something like that. Never. Not in a million years. 1-800-449-825. I got a headache now that you can't believe. I'm afraid to go to dinner. It's getting crazy. Last night, I made a potato. I'm becoming like the potato eaters. I didn't even leave the house. It was like, weird. What's going on with me, man? Double instinct. Last night, I wouldn't leave the house after I went home. Barred the doors, locked the gate, released the dogs, turned on the alarm, loaded the shotguns. And I microwaved four potatoes. I said, are you kidding? A guy like you obsessed with food, you're eating a potato and green peas? Is this crazy? It was the best meal I've had in months. Years. It was fabulous. In fact, I was thinking of producing a book, The Potato and Green Pea Diet. I can guarantee, I'm getting like, you know, funny. I slept better. You know, it was amazing. I mean, your ancestors, if you're from Ireland, right? They lived on potatoes till the famine. So it makes you strong. Potatoes are strong for a tremendous food. Potato, low fat, the fake butter, and a green pea. The dog loved it too. I cut out the roast beef for him at night. He slept better. He sighed. His foot looks better. Well, what do you want to do with this? Breitbart's dead. Rush had a bomb square. I saw the angel of death. So what's happening? You want to talk about it? I got a smasher on me. Like, you remember the old ad, a headache is about to clamp? Remember on TV in the 50s, 60s, there was an ad? They showed a normal man smiling and said, a headache is about to clamp. I got a clamper just came in. Out of nowhere is I clamped down. I'm not going to reach for the Anacin, I'll tell you that. But something, what, they have like a special device now that can like ray beam my head and give me a headache? They got a Chinese satellite that can give people headaches. Oh, God. Look, let's not get crazy altogether. But look, he had known heart issues. He was didn't exercise, probably poo-pooed vitamins. I think I tried to tell him what vitamins to take. I said get bodyguards. I told him which vitamin. He didn't listen to me. He didn't like me very much. And I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I didn't know the guy very well. I thought he was out of control with his lifestyle. Never resting. No one can live with that, incidentally. It would kill anybody, truthfully. Office in Washington, office in the House, every Tea Party show, television, whatever, there was a camera there where he was. Who could live with it? How do you not get a heart attack from that? So let's go to the other side. Is this fishy or simply a heart attack? Okay, here's a caller that this is a guy with brains. Joe in New York on WOR, I think, has it exactly right. Joe, say what you're going to say.
Okay, this is the way I see it, Michael. Thank you for being you. If the tapes come out, might be natural causes. But if they don't come out, they whack them, period.
Bingo. Bingo. That's the movie. That's the movie.
Period. That's it, man.
Period. Period. That's the movie. That's a New Yorker. That's why I can't live without my callers from New York, WOR. Impossible to live without you. It doesn't mean everyone else can't think or they're not intelligent, but bingo, period, end of the game. So now I'm going to ask you a loaded question, and you're going to give me an answer no one will expect. What field of work are you in?
Man. Okay, let's just say, the best way I could put it is that, like, you know, I'm involved in music and film, which I like to call Sodom and Gomorrah in this joint.
So, what do you produce, music videos in the tombs?
No, I'm just saying, man, New York, you know, this is liberal center. It's very difficult to have like a moral center and actually exist in the entertainment thing.
No, like, I know. I understand what you're saying. So you're okay, but you were never in police work.
No, I'm a street guy at first. But then,
were you ever in the other side of the work?
Man.
All right, I got the end. Never mind. I didn't ask the question. But the way you put it is directly the way it is. If the tapes come out, he died of a heart attack. If the tapes are never seen, he was whacked. Period. End of story, right?
That's the way I went, and I watched the tapes. And although you're saying, like, he went all over the place, he was very active, when I saw the speech, he didn't look like a guy that was unhealthy to me, man.
Well, it could be plain out heart attack from, you know, killing himself, basically, with overwork, right?
Stress from the gig. Yeah.
Right? Stress from the media. The media killed him.
Yeah,
He got too close to the sun. He got too close to the sun, and like Icarus, the wax burned off his feathers and he fell to earth.
Yeah, man. It just impresses me because it's way too young, man, 43.
Well, but my father got his first heart attack at 47 and died at 59 or 58 or something. And, you know, people die in their 40s, 30s, 20s. In their teens now, they're dying of heart attacks, Joe.
Oh, yeah, every day is a gift as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Hey, what I said earlier in the last hour, I'm sure you heard it, that I've been feeling the angel of death hovering for 2 weeks. Have you ever got that feeling?
Of course. You cannot be over 50 and not have that feeling.
Okay. No, you're laughing. No, that's right. So that's like a common thing. I think a lot of guys must fear that and talk to God about, like, please go away. I'm not ready, right?
Oh, yeah. I try to talk every morning and every afternoon and every night to that, you know. So
But that's a prayer. That's a prayer. That's a religious man. That's a religious man. You're talking to God. Am I right, Joe?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, man. Enough of us don't do that, and that's really the problem.
Joe, I want to get into this for 1 minute. We've been talking about religion this week. People don't understand this. I have looked at the Orthodox Jewish prayer book, which is different than the regular liberal Jewish prayer book. Do you know what the first prayer is after saying, thank God for not making me a woman? I have to tell you that. The first prayer in the morning for a Jewish man is, thank God for not making me a woman. And it's not even said in a derogatory fashion. It's because they recognize that their wives suffer from their womanhood, and they respect them more for it. People don't understand that. It's not a put down. But you know what the number two prayer is in the Orthodox Jewish prayer book, Joe? It says, There are many vessels in my body that if even I feel pain talking about, I'm getting freaked out, but they say the prayer is very clear. It says, there are many vessels in my body that if even one of them, the smallest, should close for even a moment, I would be dead. Thank you, God, for giving me the breath of life. I mean, this is an astounding prayer, Joe. And what it does is it tunes a man into the fact that he's a living, breathing organism rather than some robot walking around who doesn't even live.
Yes. No, I totally agree.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to get too heavily into the life and death prayer thing, but someone died. He's dead. His young man leaves 4 beautiful children, and he was a right-winger, really heavy-duty conservative, dead in the streets. Heart attack, they say, but there's an autopsy coming. He did threaten the president's campaign overtly, smack out, straight up, no mincing words, and I'm going to play it again. If you think that this is to be ignored, then ignore it. Go tune in MSNBC and sneer now and laugh at him. Go laugh and high-five each other. Well, we got one of them. What do you think they're doing over there, that devious group of... What do you think they're doing? You think they really care? Those foamers, those... But the fact is, he's dead. He had videos of Obama that will come out this year. Where are the videos? Well, I don't know, but I'll be back to talk with you. And I want your opinion. Do you think that we should just dismiss this as a heart attack? Or should we continue to think amongst ourselves that he was whacked because he threatened certain people? And he did have dinner, by the way, with a couple of folks in Chicago and talked about the chef. That's really odd. Hold on, before we take a break here. That one of clip 4, where he says he ate with a certain person and that he had an incredible cook there in the house. Incredible cook, Polonium Sushi. I'll be back in a minute.
Savage.
Videos are going to come out, the narrative is going to come out that Barack Obama met a bunch of silver ponytails back in the 1980s, like Bill and Bernadine Dorn, who, equally radical, said one day we're going to have the presidency, and the rest of us slept.
So, I mean, what do? Put two and two together and come up with four? Or you put two and two together and come up with seven? There's no direct, you know, reason you should have a conspiracy on this, but I have a suspicious mind, and I think it's a valid question. Of course, you're never going to get the answer. Now we read there's a little bomb scare at Rush's house, but he's safe. Bomb squad called to his estate in Palm Beach by his security guards. That's two. I was one party system and one press owned by George Soros. You know, there's a war going on between Soros and Murdoch. There's a gigantic war in this world going on, like between two titans. George Soros, one of the richest men on earth, wants to be one of the most powerful men on earth, which he is. George Soros has more power than most nations do. He has more power than most sovereign nations. As you well know, he probably had a lot to do with Barack Obama getting elected. As you well know, he hates conservatives. As you well know, Rupert Murdoch, who is, well, you could say conservative for sure. I mean, he's done some great things, but his enterprises are in great trouble right now. And so you have a battle going on between gargantuans. And then in between are the commentators and the journalists and such. One of them dies, he had a heart attack. A bomb threat, nothing. Turns out to be back, and the other guy just did it to take the other side. They killed him, and they're trying to get Rush. And then very soon it'll be the night of the long knives, and anybody who opposes this administration is going to be killed. So which way? You want to get crazy now altogether? So, I mean, you got to be very careful where your mind takes you. I think tonight it'll be potatoes and green peas again in the gate. Michael in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Okay. First, I want to say you're the oxygen on the air, and you have millions of brothers and sisters who pray for you every night.
Prayer is all I need, because the rest is in someone else's hands.
Say it's fishy. It's like an angelfish versus a stingray. And I think that it's – I'm going to mention Ronald Brown to you. Remember him?
Yes.
Well, did you know that the U.S. mission building across from the U.N. is named after Ronald Brown? That makes me sick every time I go by. I live on the Upper East Side because I think he was murdered by Clinton's cronies because he was going to come out with some stuff. But anyway, he discovered that the people running the show were full of baloney, but I didn't want to become a martyr by pointing it out, so I cloaked it as a clown.
I hear you. So, Michael, I want to ask you, the Breitbart death, you think it's fishy, but he did have a heart condition.
Yes, but that's the scientist in you. And first of all, it really bugs me that you say we're never going to find out. That's negative thinking. I want to.
Well, who's going to. Wait a minute. Have we found out who killed Jack Wheeler, who was found in a dumpster in Delaware?
Because the spotlight hasn't put on it. We don't have an appetite for that yet, but we could find out. I don't know. But here's my central point, and that is that David Breitbart is like a martyr. He is a martyr like Lincoln was a martyr. And so what happens now? The conservatives in Hollywood, and there are a few, they have enough time to make a film that comes out before the election to turn it.
You're right. You're right. He was a member of the Sleeper, and they could produce a movie, even a documentary, and they could grind it out and do it on the internet.
Absolutely.
Well, Michael, it's very interesting to speak with you. I think I'm going to start giving out copies of Trickle Down Tyranny today, and you're going to be the first one to receive a free copy. If you'll stay in the line, guys, take Michael's name and address. Today is the first day I'm kicking the book off because it's March 1st. The book is due out in a month. Thank God it's in the publisher's hands. I don't do book signings, by the way. You can pretty much figure out why I don't do book signings now, right? You got it? No lectures, no book signings?
Savage.
Well, the big story, of course, is that one of the titans of the right-wing media, Andrew Breitbart, is dead. Dropped dead in the streets last night, 12:30 in the morning, after talking in a bar for a couple hours with a stranger. That's it. Had a heart attack, overweight, traveled too much, didn't take care of himself, worked too hard, dead. Or people are buzzing about the threats that he made to the Obama campaign. He has videos. We're going to get vet him, videos from his college days. Well, you heard it, right? Do I have to play it again, over and over again? I'm not going to play it right now. But I'm asking you, should we talk about this or not? It's a big story. Then the bomb threat now against the Rush's house. Bomb squad called to Rush Limbaugh's house, developing top of a Rush. Drudge. Bomb squad called to Palm Beach, home of Rush. You'll hear about it tomorrow, no doubt. The golfer will tell you. North Ocean Boulevard, rerouting northbound traffic on North Ocean Way, blah, blah, blah. Suspicious package call for assistance, blah, blah. No, tonight it's potatoes and green peas. No, the bars, the loaded shotguns, potatoes, the green peas, the food. Check the food supply, the 30-day supply. No, I'm going to go out. I do the opposite. Now first go out in the streets of North Beach and walk on dark lanes like Jack Hatfield. Now, I was going to stay home and have a potato, but because you think I'm going to be intimidated, I'm not. Now I'm definitely going out to North Beach. I'm definitely going to walk the streets tonight. Absolutely. I'm going to walk. Notice to the American people, I will be walking the streets tonight in North Beach. I'll give you the exact time and where I'll be. No. Nah, what am I going to do? So we're living in Argentina, so what? It could be worse. It could be Cuba, where we'd all be playing dominoes and driving 56 Buicks, which wasn't a bad car. You can paint it like a zebra color, get a new carburetor from a parts department in Venezuela. It could be that in 10 years in America. We all have like 19. We're stuck with like the year 2010 cars for the rest of the century. You better get a car that lasts. If Obama gets reelected, you may better get your car now. Don't get a Volt. That's all I can tell you. Be like and get a good checker set, because the internet may be controlled by the government. So you don't have to play checkers in the backyard. Get a couple of undershirts. Look, what can I tell you? All right, let's take the calls. I want to see what the audience of the Savage Nation has to think. Thinks about it. A land where poverty is rewarded. Success is punished. Our worst enemies are praised and our allies stiffed. The military is used as a pawn. Our border descends into chaos and corporations and cronies make off with all the wealth. Trickle-down tyranny crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. But I don't do book signings. I don't do lectures. I don't do television appearances. Unless they're in my living room in my pajamas like Hugh Hefner and a pipe. All I've got is you, the audience of the Savage Nation, just you and the internet. That's all there is between me and the world. What do you think? Did he die of a heart attack? How far is the left willing to go to silence their opposition? The answer is they'll kill anybody they can. How do you like that? If you go back to the 60s, and I lived through them, the Students for a Democratic Society, they were fascist murderers. They called for executing a third of the American population to bring about the new world order that they wanted. Well, now they run the world. They haven't killed anyone yet. They're just idealists. They're progressives. They believe in the future. And they believe in the poor and the downtrodden and global warming and the seals. And, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. They learned that from Uncle Carl. You don't know how far they would go. You don't know where they are at with regard to their power madness. Of course, it can't happen here, as we well know that. We live in a democracy. And, well, we have a two-party system, and we have checks and balances, and we have all sorts of protections out there. We've got a federal government that's looking out for those things that would never happen. Can't happen here. No, sir. No, sir. There's some right-wing nuts putting that garbage out there. This is a good country, and anyone who's sitting, they ought to be stopped. I believe in free speech, but free speech has its limits, and I'll tell you where those limits are, okay? That's what it is. I mean, there's limits to free speech, and I'll tell you what they are. That's how we think on the left. We believe in a good country, a clean country, an American country, and there's a limit to what those right-wingers should be allowed to say, those reactionaries. Okay. How do you want to handle this? I got good callers, you know. Wisconsin Carmine on line 9. I want to hear this one. Go ahead. What do you think?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. How do we know where he got those tapes? Maybe he got them from Dorn and Ayers.
Whoa. Takes a woman. What do you mean? Why would they give him the tapes?
Well, who else knew him back then?
But wait, why would they give him the tapes, though?
Maybe they're disgusted with the way things are going in Washington.
So they want a Republican to win?
Oh, no, no. I don't. No. Maybe it's not. Maybe it could be a warning to the president.
Okay, let's take your theory, which is an interesting one because a mind shouldn't be limited in where it goes. Okay, so he goes to dinner with them. They give him the home movies, right, from Obama in college. Why? Because they want to run someone against Obama in the last days in a primary?
It might be their way of saying that the president hasn't been doing enough, and unless he starts doing their bidding or whatever.
In other words, unless the president becomes even more radical, they're going to release even more stuff?
Well, no. What I'm saying is perhaps that is why they may have given. Well, that's a possibility, too.
In other words, they gave it to Breitbart saying, you release this, and then they tell the Obama team, unless you become more radical, we're going to release even more?
Could be.
Oh, my God. I just got a God. Carmine, how do you allow yourself to even think such things?
I read too much, Michael. I read too much.
Do you read a lot of fiction?
I do like Vince Flynn a lot.
You don't like Abuse of Power by Michael Savage? I bet you didn't even read it.
Oh, what can I say? You're number one.
Okay, well, if you put me in a league with Vince Flynn, you're okay in my book. But your mind is amazing. People can't keep up with you, can they?
No, my husband keeps saying, it doesn't matter. Remember who's in charge. And it's like, honey, but you don't understand. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. And you're saying, but remember who's in charge. And I said, you know.
Well, what does he mean? Who is in charge?
God. God is in charge. Not the government.
Well, all right, that's another way to look at it, which is all things will work out, it's God's will. I mean, some people look at it that way because there's very little you can do sometimes, and it's the only way to get through life, or you can go crazy if you keep banging your head up against immovable objects, you know?
You know, that's why I have to keep a smile on my face, Mike. I cannot let what's going on in the world get to me.
No, you cannot. You have to objectify it at a certain point, or you'll wind up like Andrew Breitbart.
Oh, my gosh, don't bite your tongue. And when you started talking about the angel of death, I'm thinking, dear God in heaven, what is going on with Michael?
Well, it's just a series of events. I mean, I just felt intuitively that he was hovering, that's all, for 2 weeks. But it was somehow he lifted last night. For the first night in weeks, I didn't have that ominous feeling around me. Whatever, you know, nothing. It's very personal. I don't know. How do I know what this is? You know, we are spiritual creatures, and we feel things, and we sense things, and we don't know how, what they mean, anything. Are they irrational? You know.
Important, Michael. Just keep praying to God. Just keep praying, man.
I do. That's all I do. What else can I do? That's all. And like the Israelis, you pray to God with one hand, keep an Uzi in the other. They learned a long time ago what their prayers got them. They got them the gas chamber. The Jews who learned the pretty good what their prayers got them. Baruch HaTon in a ditch in front of after their wives, and they threw him in with their prayer shawls and their Torahs and their Bibles into the pit. So then they learned they better learn how to develop a gun. They developed the Uzi in the right hand and a Bible in the left. That's why they're still living. Unfortunately, right now, they've lost the ability to fire the gun. Okay, New York, WR, Patricia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael, when I first saw Breitbart make that speech at CPAC, in real time, I said he looks really incensed, and he was asking people to get into the bunker with him. He was almost agitated. And then when I heard he was dead this morning, I want to tell you what the first thing that came to my mind was, that this was an unnatural death. I have a medical background. You can have all sorts of things happen, muscle myopathy, you can drop dead, blah, 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 blah. But the first thing that came to my mind was only 6 months after this president took office, he had the entire pool of journalists in the White House, and he said that he didn't recognize Fox News as a legitimate news organization, and he wanted to throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
The other journalists showed some cojones and said, well, we'll walk out if you don't recognize him. And I remember you using the word soft tyranny, and I think that was the beginning of the soft tyranny. And this is a man who tried to throw out a legitimate news outlet, and I think it's just been snowballing ever since.
So you think this is the beginning of the end?
Not the end, but the beginning.
That's terrible. But I wouldn't put it, I wouldn't put this into the category of nuts. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
For sure.
Well, what do you think of my title, Trickle Down Tyranny? Do you think it fits your conspiracy theory?
I think it's perfect.
So do I. It's the last nonfiction book I'm ever going to write.
And I've read your books, and they are fabulous.
It's my last book, I'm telling you. My last nonfiction book. Thank God it's finished, and thank God it's in the hands of the publisher, and thank God it's no longer with me. I would be frightened today. If this book manuscript was simply sitting here on my computer, I'd be in a different state of mind. It's way out of my hands right now. You know that, don't you?
I understand what you're saying. I speak to my parents who are gone and my Lord every day.
Country is no longer what it was. We don't live in a free country. And they have such a power madness, and they're so corrupt, and they're so dangerous. What the heck are you putting yourself out there for like this? What are you going to gain from it? They said you don't need it, so what are you doing it for?
Good people in this country, and there are a lot of quiet citizens, some of them like
Patricia,
me.
I'll tell you why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for millions like you. They need something. They need a sounding board. They need a sounding board, Patricia. They need this show. And you may say, oh, come on, that's, yeah, right. Well, that take it for what it is. Take it for what it is. At a certain point, your audience becomes a part of you. It's like anything else. You know, it's one giant hole. Thank you for the call. It's a bad day. It's a bad day. It'll hit us harder tomorrow. You know, I have a tape of Breitbart and I from 7/26/10, which is almost 2 years ago, when he came on the show to discuss my being banned in Britain and Obama's divisiveness. It's a classic. I'm not going to play it today. I'm probably going to play it tomorrow or next week. But the minute I come back, I want to hear your opinion on the headline I have on michaelsavage.com. And I want you to answer me honestly. Do you think I went over the top when I said, was Breitbart assassinated? And I linked to the LA Times article today, which said his death will be reviewed by the LA County coroner. The minute I read that, I had to ask the big question that should have been asked by everybody in the media. Was Breitbart assassinated? Without mentioning who. You know, by the way, a guy like that made a lot of enemies, and they could be just crazy whack job lone wolf enemies too, incidentally. By the way, you want to go all the way to the extreme of yes, he was, but it certainly wasn't the power structure because it's just one guy. So it could be a lone wolf. You don't know who's out there. There are crazy people out there. You do know that. Plain old crazy individuals. Doesn't have to be all the way. You know what I'm saying? I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There are two masks hanging down from heaven, comedy and drama, in this violent world in which we live. Comedy and drama, the two masks. You can turn any situation into one or the other. So Breitbart's death can be turned into drama, or you can turn it into something natural, or you can turn it into something else. Fact of the matter is, we're living in very dangerous times, and we live in a very violent world. Make no mistake about it. We live in a very violent world. Very violent world. Very violent world. We have no idea what happened. I would say that if the tapes come out, then the conspiracy theories go up in smoke. If the tapes don't come out, as the caller said for New York, think Jack Wheeler dumpster, Delaware. Think black cars in South America. Think Cuba in 10 years. That's all. Because that's the end of the road. Because there's one way or the other here. There's no two ways about it. It's all there is to it. He threatened, Okay, Dan in New York takes the no conspiracy. I want to hear from him on the last note of this. Dan, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's great listening to you, the best on the radio. It's like listening to a guy talking from his living room.
Thank you.
You know, I don't like Obama. I don't like the crazy liberals. But I don't think they killed, you know, Breitbart. Like, from what I understand, he had a bad heart condition.
Yes, absolutely true. That, and let's be clear. He was out of shape. He was worked every day traveling somewhere, screaming at the top of his lungs. Okay, so that fits the pattern of an early death.
But more specifically, he had an event last year with his heart.
Yes.
And a medical event. And the other side of the coin, which you've kind of diluted, you've made different points about it, the spectrum. Of course, it could have been a lone nut, but from what I've heard, his organization has possession of this material that he was threatening to release, and they're going to release it. So whatever's there is still there.
And well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. If they release it, then we put aside the conspiracy theories, and we take a deep breath, and we say we still live in America. Right?
People in his organization have said they have the material, so if that's the case...
Well, they have the material, but no one's seen the tapes yet.
I believe, I don't know for sure, I thought he said he was going to release it, you know, later. He wasn't going to release it now.
Well, listen to clip two. Play it right now. Play it right now. Clip two. Start it.
What do we get now in Barack Obama? Well, I've got videos, by the way. This election, we're going to vet him. I've got videos. This election, we're going to vet him from his college days to show you why racial division and class warfare are central to what Hope and Change was sold in 2008.
Hasta la victoria siempre! Viva Fidel! Bomb squad called to Rush Limbaugh's house on Palm Beach. We got new news on this one. His security guards found a package containing an electronic plaque. Because it was electronic and had wires, they believed the package was suspicious and contacted authorities. The package was reportedly sent from Pennsylvania. Police were able to contact the sender, who then apologized for sending something that could be construed as being dangerous. Not determined whether the device will be destroyed. So that may be nothing. Let's hope it was nothing. Let's say a guy just sent them a videotape of himself or a device that showed him performing and wanted to be on a show. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know anything. We don't know anything. But here we are, two masks, comedy and drama hanging from the sky. Sacramento, Paul, fire away as fast as you can. Go ahead, please.
Hey, yeah, real quick. On April 27th, Trump got Obama to release his long-form birth certificate. On May 2nd, 2011, Obama orders the execution of bin Laden. And then 12 hours before Joe Arpaio's investigation of the long form, it indicates that it's a forgery, by the way. Andrew
yes.
Breitbart was found dead.
But what does he have to do with the birth certificate?
Well, I think it's cover. I think they're running cover here over that birth certificate because it is a phony.
Well, but wait, you mean the Breitbart's death will sweep away the whole Arpaio statement that it's a phony?
Well, you know, if you take a look.
Well, wow, this is really heavy-duty stuff. I think it will be a little potato and green pea night. No, I'm going to North Beach. I'll see you all in the streets a little later.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
what's on MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, culture. Andrew Breitbart is dead. Question. He died at night, 12:30 in the morning, walking in the street. All right. Was it a heart attack or something more sinister? Well, there's going to be an autopsy, so something's up. I mean, do you think? What do you think? Breitbart boasted at CPAC that he had videos of Obama that will come out this year. He said, we're going to get him. We're going to vet him. Videos from his college days to show you why racial division and class warfare are central to what hope and change was in 2008. And look, I'm not suggesting this. I'm asking this. Did you hear what I just said? It's really amazing stuff, and you should be very worried indeed. And that's why I wrote my new bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. It's on sale in a month. You can pre-order your copy today. Do so at Amazon. I'm telling you, there's only one chance left. U.S. Ambassador, the creep, won't rule out military proceedings against U.S. troops who burned the Korans. What a cretin. He ought to go to work for the enemy.
The reason that it was important is the same reason that the commander on the ground, General Allen, apologized, and that is to save lives and to make sure our troops who are there right now are not placed in further danger.
It's hard to tell. Do you think it has improved apology?
It calmed things down.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers' softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com. California Democrat big caught in sex tape scandal, but you won't read about it. He's a Democrat. You really believe there's North Korea new concessions? Read all about it. I don't think so. 77% of illegal aliens from Mexico caught at the border are not prosecuted by the Obama Justice Department. President blameless. Here's an amazing story. Olympia Snow says she's leaving, right, because of partisanship. That may not be the whole truth. A lawsuit may be a factor in Olympia Snow's departure. When you read this lawsuit, when you see what her husband and she are involved in, you're going to ask yourself a few times what it means to be a Rhino Republican. Okay? What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Let's go to the bottom left. University ordered Christian Club to allow non-Christian leaders. Really? Well, will they order a Muslim club to allow Jewish leaders? That would be a plus. I could see that day. CDC issues warning about neti pots, nasal washes. Yuck. Seven are accused of bilking Medicare and Medicaid of almost $400 million in Texas alone. Can you believe this? Well, you better, as well as Jewish federations are funding anti-Israel media matters. When will the liberal Jews wake up? When will they understand? When will they understand? 1-800-449-8255. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. We have the case of accidental general, or the apologetic general, or the nice general, the NATO commander in Afghanistan, U.S. General John R. Allen, the first Marine Corps general in history to be granted, anointed as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Take that for what it is. Take it for what it is. We all know what the CFR is. All you got to do is look at the people in the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, and in the media who are members of the CFR. I am not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. I am not a member of the Bohemian Club. I am not a registered Republican. I am not a registered Democrat. I have been an independent for my entire adult life. I'm not a Johnny Come Lately. The fact of the matter is, though, we know what's going on in this world. The next phase, I have a whole history of this whole war that we're in and how it's failed one stage after the other, has collapsed and failed around us. With the phase we're in now is the third phase. Have you heard this? I'll bet you never heard this because you only listen to talk radio. But we're in the third phase of the war for our survival, and we're losing. I don't know if you know this, but those who study these things, who are experts at it, have instructed me, and I have learned that phase one, phase two, phase three, we're now in phase three, and we are losing the global war on terror, losing it very badly. and you want to score the global war on terror, there's a fascinating article entitled From Liberation to Assassination in Three Quick Rounds by Andrew Bacevich. Now, I've got to tell you who Andrew Bacevich is before I go into these details. He's a professor of history and international relations at Boston University. And he's a brilliant man in terms of this, the war on terror, and how we're failing at it. From liberation to assassination. We're now into the second decade of what the Pentagon has styled an era of persistent conflict. The war formerly known as the Global War on Terrorism, unofficial acronym, well, I can't even give it to you, appears increasingly fragmented and diffuse. Without achieving victory, yet unwilling to acknowledge failure, the United States military has withdrawn from Iraq. It is trying to leave Afghanistan, where events seem equally unlikely to yield a happy outcome. Elsewhere, in Pakistan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia, U.S. forces are busily opening up new fronts. Did you know this? Yes, we're opening up new fronts in a war that we're losing. And he goes into the war, into the three phases of it. And he says, here's what we've suffered through thus far. One, the Rumsfeld era. One, liberation. More than any other figure, more than any general, even more than the president himself, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, dominated the war's early stages. Appearing for a time to be a larger-than-life figure, the Secretary of War, in the eyes of an adoring, a fickle neocon fan club, Rumsfeld dedicated himself to the proposition that in battle, speed holds the key to victory. He threw his considerable weight behind a high-tech American version of Blitzkrieg. U.S. forces, he regularly insisted, were smarter and more agile than any adversary. I won't read you the rest of it, but we know how that worked out. Shock and awe, you know what that was, right? Remember shock and awe? That was Rumsfeld's baby. And in each case of shock and awe, it gets off to a great start, with U.S. troops landing some swift and impressive blows. In neither case, however, were they able to finish off their opponent, or even in reality, sort out just who their opponent might be. And so he says, unfortunately for Rumsfeld, the so-called terrorists refused to play by his rule book, and U.S. forces proved to be less smart and agile than their technological edge and their PR machine suggested would be the case. Indeed, when they were harassed by minor insurgencies and scattered bands of jihadis, they proved surprisingly slow to figure out what hit them. In Afghanistan, Rumsfeld let victory slip through his grasp. In Iraq, his mismanagement of the campaign brought the United States face-to-face with outright defeat. By the end of 06, shock and awe was kaput. Shock and awe was kaput. Round one came to an end. The Americans, rather embarrassingly, having lost it on points. Round two, the Petraeus era, pacification. I'll read you more of this later. I don't want to give it to you all in one gulp because you may not want to be listening to any of this, but it's not a very good prognosis when you have corporate, and I'm not anti-corporate, don't get me wrong, but there's a certain mentality at the higher levels of corporate America. These are usually not entrepreneurs. You have to understand how corporations work. An entrepreneur creates his own business. He has a different mindset than a CEO of a public company. The CEO of a public company is an A-kisser. He's a pogo stick jumper. He's a public relations figure. Nothing that he does is sincere. Everything he does is calculated along the lines of a politician. And so, therefore, you have to understand what a corporate executive is today. They're not as brilliant as you may think. They're just good politicians in an era where people are risk aversive. And so we have the same thing now in the military. And we've gone from round one with the Rumsfeld era to round two. I can speed it up right to the last phase instead of telling you what's coming. But, you know, the apology that you just heard, was that John Allen? I want to check who said that. Yes, NATO commander in Afghanistan, U.S. General John R. Allen. Do you know who he actually is? He sounds like a wimp, doesn't he? He isn't. See, this is what you don't know. John R. Allen is not a wimp. John R. Allen, if I'm not mistaken, is a former Special Forces hero. And yet, they've got him in a position where he sounds very much like a corporate president who is more interested in apologies than he is in victory. And so, therefore, we have to look at why these men behave like this once they get these jobs. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Portland, Oregon. Oregon. Let's begin on the West Coast. Chuck, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
What I don't understand is how the Afghan population became aware of the incinerator, the books being burned. How did that happen?
Well, I don't know how it happened. No doubt some of the workers at the Bagram Air Base who were burning them or who were around the pits saw it and reported it, and they didn't tell the whole story, which is that these were books. By the way, they weren't just Qurans. These were books and other materials that were in the cells of prisoners of war at that time. That's a very important distinction that has been left out of the press reports, Chuck.
Well, what I'm saying is that usually these things have to have a chain of custody, something that's, accounted for. Everything that's taken from prisoners has to be accounted for. You're talking to a former military policeman, so, I know a little something about that. So, you know, Dr. Savage, you'd be better off talking about the health benefits of blueberries right now on this one, because it seems so far away that it's lost.
You mean you think that my take on it is wrong?
No, it seems to me that the ship has already set sail for World War III, especially with Iran and everything going on. You'd be better off just talking about blueberries.
Well, in a way, you're right. I totally agree with you. In a way, you happen to be right. We're all sitting here waiting for a nuclear bomb to go off either inside our country, God forbid, or over Israel. There is no question in my mind that the Hitlers of Iran are going to launch a nuclear attack the minute they can. And it's going to come unexpectedly, and the Israelis will be sitting there saying, well, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. Or they will smuggle something into this country and detonate it in this country while we sit here and argue over Rick Santorum or Ron Paul or Mitt Romney. This is absolutely, we're living in a vacuum. We're like idiots living inside a vacuum.
It's disturbing to watch.
It is disturbing to watch, and it's even more disturbing to have to get up in the morning and decide to talk about it or not talk about it. You're absolutely right. I could talk about blueberries. I could talk about animal rights. I could talk about the slaughter of elephants. All of these stories are of some interest, but right now I think my country's life hangs in the balance like a loose tooth. And I don't know what else to do except talk about the realities of our military situation. And I mean right now, because this is in the news. It's not something I would do every day, Chuck. But would you like to know about the health effects of blueberries?
Yes, I would. Actually, I had a bunch of blueberries this morning, and I thought about calling you. I'm glad I found a segue.
Well, okay, I'm going to talk about the health effects of blueberries because it's an interesting military-related question. First of all, you live in Oregon where there are wonderful blueberries. That you know, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, in World War II, and it's not a myth, RAF pilots would eat bilberry jam before going on a night flying mission. Did you ever hear that?
No.
Yes, and that's because the phytochemicals in blueberries increase their night vision. Blueberries have amazing phytochemicals in them, plant chemicals, and the British knew about this through folklore. And as I say, before the men went on night missions, they ate blueberry jam. So, I mean, the same holds true today. If you have vision problems, it's a very good idea to either eat blueberries, which I do all the time. I eat them as often as I can get them, especially organically grown blueberries. I'm not a big fan of pesticides myself, and I don't take them, but there are products on the market with, condensed versions of the blueberry active principles, which I'm not a big pill person with regard to the herbal stuff. Incidentally, I'd rather get it out of foods if I can. But anyway, it's very good for night vision. I'll tell you something else. This is an interesting side story. Many a moon ago when I was in the nutritional field, I was very, very interested in pills as they relate to herbs. And there are some medicinal products out there that contain bilberry extract. Okay, the reason I don't talk about it is a lot of them are phony. They're fake. I had a doctor friend, great guy, whose mother was 92 and she was suffering from macular degeneration, Chuck. And I had seen literature which said that it can reverse some of the effects of macular degeneration. She took the bilberry pills for a number of months. And he swore to me, and this is one of the top doctors I knew. He was a Stanford graduate and a wonderful doctor unto himself. He swore to me the bilberry jam reversed some of her macular degeneration. So, Chuck, at the end of the day, if you ask old Doc Savage anything, you'll get a legitimate answer. Now, the general himself, John R. Allen, has a very interesting background. He is a Marine who went to the Naval Academy, and he is the first Marine Corps officer inducted as a term member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, those are keywords to the small percentage of listeners to the Savage Nation who know who the CFR is. The Council on Foreign Relations is a notoriously New World Order, One World Government, internationalist organization that has deep ties to the government media complex, especially on the extreme liberal side. And so although he has some pretty good military experience, platoon and rifle company commander, jump officer, jump master at the Naval Academy, I don't see much actual on ground, according to his, I don't think he's out there in the field and shooting, well, whatever. He has some, he has cojones, the guy's good. Nevertheless, he's obviously deeply tied into the political establishment, going way up into the CFR, which may explain his genuflecting with such superb control of the language, salam aleikum, the way he said it. I mean, he's very well trained in the local dialect. Fort Lauderdale, Jack, welcome to the Savage Nation from WFTL.
You were correctly indignant with the very unsound military logic of putting all of these precious seals
on one old slow-flying Chinook and throwing them into a combat zone. Who made the decision? Was it some KGB hack from Harvard?
No, at his level, he would not be making.
Who in the military killed our seals? Why has there been a cover-up?
Savage.
We all respect our warriors, and we have a reporter and writer who was actually a ranger in the Army's 10th Mountain Division, one of the great American fighting divisions. And he was fighting in Afghanistan. He joins us today to tell us what's really going on in Afghanistan. Captain Parnell, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's an honor to be on the show with you today, Michael.
Well, what are conditions really like in Afghanistan on the ground?
Oh, it's an absolutely, positively alien world. For a guy like me, a year before I took command of my infantry platoon, I was drinking beer with my college buddies. A year later, I found myself in command of a 40-man light infantry platoon, not only responsible for the men, but also for their families and their lives. It's a world that is difficult to describe in words. For me, I think that the best leaders serve their men. The best military leaders serve their men, not the other way around. I made it my business day in and day out in garrison and in combat to serve my soldiers by defending them from garrison politics or leading them towards an enemy bunker under fire. And that was part of my job. That's the charge that I took as their leader, and I was willing to give my life for them if need be.
So the bureaucrats are getting in the way of soldiers doing their job again?
I think that's true sometimes. I mean, we've got rules of engagement that can make it difficult for soldiers to do their job on the ground. You've got young privates out there in combat in an alien world wondering whether or not they can shoot back. Those rules of engagement are necessary. They're necessary because they give our soldiers a framework to work within, but they can also make a soldier question their actions. They can also make a soldier question whether or not they should engage a target. And sometimes it can lead to them getting killed because it didn't react fast enough.
Tell my audience about situations when the rules of engagement put soldiers' lives in danger.
Well, for me personally, when I was in Afghanistan, we were pretty lucky. The rules of engagement for us were we had a framework to work within. But the rules of engagement were not as tight as they were now. So what that meant was we were able to get out after the enemy in hot pursuit, find them, and kill them. We killed over 350 enemy insurgents in Afghanistan without killing one single civilian. And I think that's because our generals at the time and our politicians trusted in the modern American infantry soldier to make the right decision on the ground. And politically, the eyes of the nation were on Iraq. Every politician was focused on what was becoming the quote-unquote military failure in Iraq, the growing insurgency there, and they were trying to tackle what to do They were trying to figure out what to do with a counterinsurgency situation there. So for us in Afghanistan, we were kind of left to our own devices. But it was actually a blessing because it allowed us the freedom to shoot, move, and communicate without worrying about being thrown in jail. In January of 2007, we were extended the day before we were supposed to go home for 4 more months. We were in combat for 485 days. And just to give people some context, Easy Company of the 101st Airborne during World War II jumped into Normandy and fought to Hitler's eagle's nest in less time than 485 days. So in January of 2007, we were extended for 4 months. All of a sudden, the eyes of the nation were focused on Afghanistan again. And I think at the tail end of our deployment, the rules of engagement started to get tighter. And you know what happened the next time? My battalion went back to Afghanistan a year and a half later, and they ended up taking 19 KIA and had over 150 wounded. And almost every single soldier on the ground thought it was because the rules of engagement were so ridiculous that they could not even engage the enemy if they saw them.
So you're telling us that the rules of engagement changing toward the end of your deployment led directly to soldiers being killed? It's exactly what I described in trickle up poverty and trickle down tyranny.
I can say that with absolute certainty. Now the rules of engagement aren't all bad. They're necessary. They provide a soldier a framework and a structure to work within, to make decisions, to make decisions. You know, it gives them a basis to make decisions. But there's no question that you know, there were times, and I can tell you from my sources on the ground that were in Afghanistan at the time, you know, just for your FYI here, I have buddies of mine that are in special forces teams operating in Afghanistan and at every level of the chain of command in Afghanistan. So it's something that I'm up on the times with, but I can tell you unequivocally that soldiers are confused about the rules of engagement. And they have been for some time. Now, I would probably say from the year 2009 on, a lot of, you know, boots on the ground, door kicking infantrymen have had a difficult time making decisions because they're not sure what the rules of engagement were. They were so tight. They weren't sure whether or not they could engage the enemy or not. Oftentimes, we would see an insurgent putting in an IED and try to track them down and kill them. But we couldn't because he put his stuff down. He put the IED down. He put his explosive material down and couldn't do anything about it because we didn't catch him red-handed. I mean, that kind of stuff makes a war in Afghanistan really, really difficult to win.
Are you saying that Obama taking office in 2009 put your men's lives in greater danger?
I think that when the eyes of the nation shifted from Iraq to Afghanistan, things got very, very difficult for your boots-on-the-ground infantrymen. Soldier in Afghanistan. All of a sudden, we had a large bureaucratic entity trying to sort of control what was happening on the ground. And anytime that happens, soldiers get killed. What the Obama administration tried to do and was take the counterinsurgency strategy implemented in Iraq and put it on Afghanistan. And what they didn't realize is that Afghanistan is a completely different country. It's a completely different country. So the counterinsurgency strategy that I think was successful in Iraq, it's almost impossible for it to function and work properly in Afghanistan because Afghanistan is not it's not even a country. It's tribal in nature. Most people in Afghanistan don't even know how old they are, let alone recognize that they live in a country that's called Afghanistan. So I think it all started there, them trying to implement a counterinsurgency strategy that was meant for Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think that the Army tried to change it, but the Army being a big bureaucratic entity, I mean, the wheels of change are slow in an organization like the Army, even though they're trying their best to do the right thing.
Okay. If you had been under the current rules of engagement, what would have been the difference in casualties, enemy kills, and civilians harmed?
Well, we took an incredibly high casualty rate as it was, but I think the key to a combat leader functioning within the rules of engagement is to have a very clear-cut escalation of force battle drill. And that means if a car is coming to your traffic control point, you first say stop. If he doesn't stop, you fire a warning shot. If he doesn't stop, you fire a shot into his engine block. And only then and only then do you engage a human target. So I think the key is for combat leaders on the ground to have a very good, clear-cut escalation of force battle drill in place to help give privates in the Army or trigger pullers a structure from which to engage from. So I think it starts there. So for me, that's where I would have started, is having a very clear-cut escalation of force battle drill.
So it's not that they were the wrong rules, but the rules kept changing, which created confusion in the minds of the soldiers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to implement a counterinsurgency strategy in Afghanistan. There's no question. But it was incredibly, incredibly confusing, because the enemy that we're facing in Afghanistan is not a ragtag militia. These guys have – they cut their teeth when they fought the Soviets in the 80s. They fought in the Afghan Civil War in the 90s. Now they're fighting against us. The average foreign fighter in Afghanistan, Haqqani Network or Taliban fighter in Afghanistan, has 10 years combat experience on your average American private. That is a significant combat multiplier for the enemy. Soldiers that came home on leave would come to my desk and say, "My God, sir, it's so different. We're not allowed to shoot back. It's difficult for us to call for fire. We don't know what to do." And, you know, as a commander in the Army, I'm looking these guys in the face and thinking, oh, my gosh, like, how are we going to win this war?
What's one final thing you'd like to tell the Savage Nation that they really don't know about Afghanistan at this time?
I would tell the American people right now that American soldiers win every fight in Afghanistan. American soldiers, Marines, and our military beat the enemy in every fight on the ground. But that said, it is impossible to achieve a military victory in Afghanistan.
All right. Well, Captain, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
People can go to facebook.com/outlawplatoon, and the book is available anywhere books are sold.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
General has apologized for the burning of Qurans by troops in Afghanistan. Now, you got to hear this sound. I don't even know if I'm ready for this one. It's getting crazier by the day. NATO commander in Afghanistan, U.S. General John R. Allen, gets up and genuflects because apparently some coded Qurans, the Qurans were apparently contained some secret messages or whatever, from one terrorist to another. Just as they often hide in mosques to kill our troops, they often slip messages to each other inside of their Bible in their holy places. And so the military, you know, wanted to defend itself and got rid of these coded messages in these books. Well, of course, the lunatics went crazy in Afghanistan. And here is one of our leading generals in clip one.
To the noble people of Afghanistan, Salamu alaikum. I'm General John Allen, commander of the International Security Assistance Force. I've ordered an investigation into a report I received during the night that ISAF personnel at Bagram Air Base improperly disposed of a large number of Islamic religious materials, which included Qurans. When we learned of these actions, we immediately intervened and stopped them. The materials recovered will be properly handled by appropriate religious authorities.
That's very sensitive when you think about it. It's a sensitive statement. That's what we need, is a sensitive general at this time. Because as you well know, the other side handles churches and Torahs with utter respect and, you know, with utter sensitivity. It gets even worse. Listen to the next one from our general.
We are thoroughly investigating the incident, and we are taking steps to ensure this does not ever happen again. I assure you, I promise you, this was not intentional in any way. And I offer my sincere apologies for any offense this may have caused.
Okay, give him the last one of the great general.
My apologies to the President of Afghanistan. My apologies to the government of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. And most importantly, my apologies to the noble people of Afghanistan. I'd like to thank the local Afghan people who helped us identify the...
Sorry, I was laughing at a cartoon I was watching during this. All right, turn him on. This is the best we can produce now in the military. Now, would you want your son to serve in Afghanistan knowing this is the commander? This is the commander. He's apologizing. And to the noble people of Afghanistan, they're all noble. We're not noble here in America. Apparently, the only people who can be noble to a general who works for Obama are in Afghanistan, Pakistan, etc. But there it is. The same mindset that calls the people of Afghanistan noble, the same mindset that apologizes for various and sundry, the same FBI that has removed training documents which contain any statements about Islam that are true. For example, the FBI, because they were forced to do so by the Muslim pressure groups that have penetrated our intelligence agencies. You ready for this one? There were materials in the FBI training files which included a graph that tracked followers of the Bible, Torah, and Quran over hundreds of years. And in this training manual at the FBI, the graph showed that devout followers of the Torah and the Bible were becoming less violent over time, while devout followers of the Quran were remaining as violent in 2010 as they were hundreds of years ago. Now, why is that something that the FBI needs to hide? You talk about revisionist history. Is there anything false about that? Is there anything false about that? No, of course not. But now they have various and sundry advisors. For example, a fine gentleman by the name of Salam al-Mariati, president of the so-called Muslim Public Affairs Council. I don't know what Salam al-Mariati's name was before he became Salam al-Mariati or before he worked at the Muslim Public Affairs Council. However, he is now advising the FBI on what their counterterrorism policy should be. In fact, al-Mariati, whoever he is, attended the most recent meeting with Robert Mueller of the FBI and urged that the FBI seek more feedback in the future when developing its training guidelines on Islam. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. From sea to shining sea, it's the Savage Nation. So how do you feel about the U.S. general apologizing for what allegedly happened in Afghanistan? I mean, there are various and sundry reports of what this was. The International Security Assistance Force personnel at Bagram Air Base found Qurans that had coded messages in them, and they burnt them because they didn't want the subterfuge to go on any further. And instead of saying that, the general apologizes for the forces. I also have a story for you. I have a friend who has a super yacht, a mega yacht, who told me a story about inviting his poor relations aboard and what they did when they came to dinner. We'll have that for you later on. Now, going back to the so-called burning of the Qurans in the Bagram airfield north of Kabul in Parwan province, it turns out that these books were used by incarcerated detainees, terrorists in other words, who were once incarcerated at the Bagram Air Base. And the books had notes in them. So you understand how prisoners work, don't you? Prisoners in our institutions in America use religion as a weapon to get over on the authorities. They use, very many of them use religion as a weapon to get early release. They use religion as a weapon to say that they're good and they've converted, and then they pass notes in the Bible sometimes. You know that. I mean, ask anyone who works in the prison industry. So the same thing goes true there. What, because it's a Quran, they couldn't be passing notes inside of it? So let's be clear about this. If we're at war, then we're at war. If we're not at war, then get the hell out of Afghanistan. I don't understand what we're doing there. Do you? And if you listen to the NATO commander apologizing, it's astonishing to listen to U.S. General John R. Allen. It's worth playing again.
To the noble people of Afghanistan, salamu alaikum. I'm General John Allen.
He's got a good accent. I got to tell you, holy, that's a pretty good accent.
My apologies to the president of Afghanistan. My apologies to the government of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. And most importantly, my apologies to the noble people of Afghanistan. I would like to thank the local Afghan people who helped us identify the error and who worked with us to immediately take corrective action.
This is a general? This is something you'd expect from a corporate suit. But is there a difference today between top-ranking officers and corporate executives? No. No. Unbelievable. How do you feel about this, being an American? If I play for you what the Afghan Muslims screamed after these Qurans were allegedly burned, even though they were Qurans, they were used, according to what I have read, to pass messages by former internees. Remember, they didn't break into a mosque and burn Qurans. These were used by prisoners, prisoners of war in essence. The translation is, the Muslims are rioting, calling for the removal of Jewish infidels on their soil. Listen to clip 24 to hear the sensitive sounds of the surrounding noble people of Afghanistan.
We Afghans don't want these Jewish infidels. They're the enemy of our soil, our honor, and our Quran. I urge all Muslims to sacrifice themselves in order to pull out these troops from this soil.
So now all of our troops are Jewish infidels, so Hitler would be very proud of this speech by the Afghans who are rioting outside the military base. How do you feel about U.S. General John R. Allen apologizing to the noble people of Afghanistan and genuflecting to these noble people? Any man in the U.S. military is now an honorary Jew. They've all been granted a member of the Jewish religion. They're Jewish infidels to these noble individuals in Afghanistan that the general is referring to.
Savage.